Amen, and good evening. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. Don't they do a great job of leading us? Amen. And my name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch, and we are glad that you're here to worship with us tonight. I said this earlier, but it is a good day to be in the church, and you are in the right place. I really believe that God is doing some incredible things, and that he is inviting you to be a part of it. And some of those incredible things are what is going on in your heart, and what he's wanting to do in your life. And specifically, I was thinking about how there is no place that you might find yourself this evening that God cannot reach in and pull you out of. If you feel like you're in a hole or in a pit or struggling, you feel distant from God, There's no place that you are that God cannot reach down, that he will not reach down, clean you off, and draw you near to himself. That is his heart. That is the message of the gospel. That is what we celebrated at Christmas, that God came from heaven to earth to rescue you. We were all in a pit. We were all separated from him. We all were in need of a Savior, and God demonstrated his love for us in this, that he sent Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. And that's the story of the gospel, and that story still rings true in our lives today, wherever we find ourselves. And so you are in the right place, because God is really a God that pursues and loves people. And your story is a story of his glory. Your story of redemption and being made right in relationship with God is a beautiful story for his glory. And it is not only your story and my story that God is developing and that he is writing, but there is a story that he is writing across this valley and across the world. There are more people coming to faith in Christ in Muslim nations today than ever before. We have a great friend. His name is Steve Smith. He's a part of the IMB, the International Mission Board, with Southern Baptists, and he's done a lot of training with us. And one of the things that he said as an overseer in the southeastern region for all of the Southern Baptist missionaries, and they have a lot of them. He said there is no place, and this is not just in the Southeast. This is as he's gotten together with all of the regional coordinators of the Southern Baptist missionaries. They were just blown away by what God was doing, and he came out of that and he shared this with us, that there is no place in the world today where we have missionaries that God is not moving, that people are not coming to faith in Christ on a regular basis. And that is encouraging. God is moving, and he is drawing lost and broken people back to himself. And that is a wonderful thing for me and for you, because we are those lost and broken people. And it is also a wonderful thing, because there is nothing like getting to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of people around us. In the lives of people that are experiencing pain and hurt, separation from God, brokenness in relationships, and seeing them find wholeness, purpose, joy, and life in God, because that's what he does. And for you and I who are followers of Jesus and who've experienced that in our lives, we've got to be about that. And so that's why you are in a good place, because God is pursuing you and God is on the move, and there's nowhere else that we are going to find more life than walking with him. I love this time of year. For me, it is a new year. For all of us, it's a new year. But I just love that it is a new year, and I own that. I own that this is a new year. It is a new day. There are new things that God is going to do. I recognize some of the failures, some of the things I wanted to do last year that didn't happen, and I feel like it is just a natural time in life where my slate is wiped clean, and there are new purposes, there's new visions on the heart of God for my life, and I want to wrap my arms around those and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, what are you speaking? What are you doing? What are you wanting to do in my life this year? And I just want to encourage you. I know New Year's resolutions get a bad rap, and that's because people don't really actually follow them. They don't have any resolve to actually see the resolves come to pass. So I know that happens. And yet let's not throw those out the window. And because what I do and what Joy, my wife, and I do every year is we take this time to say, God, what are you speaking over this year? And we kind of separate out into some different categories, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, emotionally. What are you, relationship-wise, what are you doing this year? What are some things that you're speaking? And so sometimes there is a book or two that God will bring to mind, and we're like, okay, we're going to read this book. We feel like there's some things that God wants to speak to us through this book. Maybe on the spiritual side of things, there's a particular area of our life that God wants to sharpen, and maybe that's our prayer life, and God is challenging us to spend more time in prayer, and that we're going to see really the fruit of prayer if we will commit ourselves to it. And so we write that down, and we say, okay, we want to do that. In the family one, maybe it's God challenging me on being a better husband in these areas. Often I'll go through the fruit of the Spirit and see where I'm lacking in my relationships. And so to love better, to be more gentle with my children. And so there are things that God speaks, and none of them are completely revolutionary. They're just true. They're things I need to work on. God is highlighting them for me as I give him the opportunity to take inventory of my life, of how I'm doing, and how are things really going, and how am I living my life in terms of intentionality? And that's really what it comes down to. Am I living an intentional life, or am I just kind of going with the flow as the wind blows and making it through life? And I want to live intentionally. It's something that I've learned to do over the years because I'm very much by myself, just a go with the flow, see what happens kind of person. And that doesn't mean that I still can't be happy-go-lucky in that way, but I want to be intentional. I want to go somewhere on purpose because I believe that that's what God calls us to. And so that's just an encouragement here in this new year for us to take some time to develop some goals. And not just things that you feel like would be a great idea, but really seek the Lord and his wisdom in it. And then, and this is the most important part, is to take those goals and put them somewhere where you can find them, where you will see them regularly. Because all too often we can do that, and then we write those goals down somewhere, and then we never see them again. Or we forget all about them. And it's important to keep those goals before us, so that we can see them, so that we know what God has spoken, and that we're checking back in to see, okay, are we living out the things that God has called us to do? And so the new year is a beautiful thing. I mean, praise God, he is a God that gives new mercies every day, but I love the new year because I feel like it is a new day to say, God, what are you speaking? Where are you leading? There may be old things that he's still speaking. It doesn't mean everything is new or different. But we're just hearing him again for this season of life. And one of the ways that I feel like God wants to give us grace for all these new commitments, all the resolutions that we're making, one of the ways I feel like God wants to give us grace, and I got a text from a good friend on my way here this evening saying that as he was praying for this service, that he really felt like God was wanting to extend a grace, that there was just a grace for us to receive as a people to walk out in all the commitments and the new assignments that God has for us in this new season. So all the things that God has for us, that he wants to do in you, and the new places that he wants to use you to give him glory, there is a grace that he wants to give tonight. And I really believe that. And it really resonated with what I already felt like God was having us do tonight, where we're going to start at least. And that's with what we talked about all through the Advent season. So I don't know if you were here through the leading up to Christmas, but we went through the Advent. And the way that we did that is we looked at the things that came when Jesus came and what he brought. And he brought hope, he brought peace, he brought love, and he brought joy. Of course, there is a myriad of other things that happened when Jesus came. But those are the four things that are primarily focused on in this season of Advent, and the coming of the Lord. That he brought hope, that he brought peace, he brought love, and joy. And through the Advent season, we were able to expound upon those in a very real way. And I believe that God was really working in many of us in these areas, in receiving from Him peace. Not just like, okay, yeah, peace and it being a trivial thing. Not hope in a wishful thinking kind of way, but deep-rooted peace and life-giving hope for tomorrow, that God is good. And so here's what we're going to do in the new year, because when we get a gift, and that's what these are gifts that came with the greatest gift of all, who is Jesus, right? I mean, that is the gift that God gave us, is His Son, Jesus. And in Jesus, we were given hope, peace, love, and joy. And those are amazing gifts. And just like any good gift that we get, it doesn't sit in the back of a closet somewhere. It doesn't wind up under our bed. A good gift is one that we utilize all the time. We're wearing it all the time. We're using it all the time. We're playing with it all the time. It's a good gift, and we love it. And so that's what these are to be. These aren't to be some token words, oh yeah, hope and love and feel good kind of emotions that we talk about around Christmas season or something like that. These are real tangible gifts, gifts of God's grace that He gives us. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read a verse that coincides with each of these gifts. The gift of hope, the gift of love, the gift of peace and joy. And what I want to do is have us take a moment, just a minute or so, and I just want you, as I read the verse, and I want to give you that moment to allow God to give you hope. Just say, God, I need Your hope. Here I am. I don't know what to do, but I know that hopelessness is not of You. I know that You came to give me hope. Won't You just give me hope now, a deep-rooted hope that You are good, that life has hope, it has purpose for me. And so I just want to give you a moment just for you to hear from God, to sense that He is near and giving you these things. So we're going to start with hope. Romans 15:13 says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the God of hope, and His desire is that we would overflow with hope from His Spirit. So let's just take a moment, and I just want you to receive from God a greater measure of His hope for your life. Lord, we agree with this passage and declare that You are the God of hope. It is who You are. And as we come to You, each one of us this evening, I believe that You are overflowing our lives with hope by the power of Your Spirit. That there is a flicker of a hope that is building in our hearts and our minds. Thank You, Lord. In this passage, it says that He is the God of hope, and He fills us with joy and peace. The birthplace of joy and peace is the hope of God. That's where it's born, so we hope in Him. A faith-filled hope, and He leads us to peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. say this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to invite you to just come to God by prayer and petition in this moment. And as you do that, presenting your requests to God, presenting your troubles, presenting the things that are bringing chaos or confusion to you, presenting those things to Him and trusting that He is the God who brings peace. And it transcends understanding. It goes above even you understanding the situation. And there's just a peace that He gives. So God, won't you just bring that peace in this moment? Sometimes we feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. But what God desires to do is to come in, come up behind you, and take that weight off of your shoulders. And as He stands up, He is larger than you, and so that weight comes off of you. And you are just able to rest under His peace, under His protection. So thank you, God, that you bring peace. Thank you, Father. We sang the song earlier, actually. It talked about how he brings order back to the chaos. I don't know, how's it go? He brings the chaos. He turns our chaos back into order. There you go. And that's what He does. We can get ourselves into a mess. But when we just trust Him, when we come, instead of worrying and living in anxiety, we come to Him, and He somehow is able to bring order to the chaos that sometimes life feels like. He is a God of peace, and so we receive that. Next one is joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." This version says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We don't have to go looking for joy. We don't have to go looking for pleasure to find that sense of life. Fullness of joy is in God's presence. That's where joy is found. And joy is a deep, residing gratefulness. It is happiness, but it's not the surface level that's dependent upon conditions or circumstances. It is a deep-seated joy. And again, it is birthed out of hope. There is no joy apart from hope, knowing that God is good and that tomorrow is good because God is good. And so we have an abounding hope that leads us to joy. And so today, we just want to take a moment and say, God, give me your joy. Let me know that joy is found in your presence. Maybe we've looked for joy, for meaning, for fulfillment other places, but joy and pleasure are found in Him. Another verse that I think of is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants to strengthen you through His joy. Through the ups and downs of emotions and circumstances, a consistent that will bring strength is His joy. Is His joy. So God, won't you just give us your joy? Just ask Him for that as we take a moment for that. Father, I do ask that joy would abound in our hearts and lives this year. Father, that we wouldn't take ourselves so seriously, that we wouldn't take life so seriously, that we would know that you are with us, and that alone would give us great joy. Lord, I pray that there'd be more laughter in our homes this year. Just greater joy. We pray this in your name. Amen. And the last one is love. That Jesus came out of his great love to demonstrate great love. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You are loved. You are loved. God demonstrated it through the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave to us. And it's not only through that, but he loves you today. He loves who you are. He loves who he has created you to be. You have a purpose and a plan. He created you uniquely to be you. And we find who we are in him. So know that you are loved, that you are accepted, that God cannot love you any more because he cannot love you any less. He loves you perfectly. And that's the God that we come to. And it's so important to know that we are loved by God. Because we all, as human beings, are built with a need to be loved. Unanimously. There is no exception. We need to know that we are loved. That we are accepted for who we are. And there is no one who can do that like God can. And so just, we're going to take a moment one last time here and ask God for a new revelation of how much he loves us. Of how much he loves us. Thank you, Lord. God, we recognize tonight that your love is powerful. That it breaks chains that have bound us. That when we know we are loved, it empowers us to live for you, the one who loves us perfectly well. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a year of knowing your great love. Lord, it is a lifetime that we could spend and not exhaust the limits or the knowing your love. And I pray that this year we would go deeper and deeper into the ways that you love us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So these are gifts. And they are byproducts. They are byproducts of walking in relationship with Jesus. They are what comes when we walk with him. They are not gifts that we say thank you and then put them somewhere. We continually get them and increase them, and they increase in our lives as we walk with him. And so I want to encourage us in this new year to take these things, to live in the peace of God, the joy and the hope and the love of God, because that is what will sustain us. That is what gives us strength. That's what gives us life. I want to move into the main portion of our message tonight and start with a story about my wife, Joy. When we were thinking about coming out here, in fact, we didn't know where we wanted to move. We knew that God had called us to plant a church. And for a while, we were thinking God was going to call us to that. It was cool when he made it real clear. And he called us to go and plant a church with some of our closest friends. So we had the opportunity to do that, but we had no idea where. We didn't have a specific place that we had always wanted to go or a people that we had a heart for. We were just wide open. And God began really leading us to Arizona. And for me, many of you know this, I had never even been to Arizona. I think I'd been in the airport once, but had never been here at all. And so we came out here and on a scouting trip, just praying and seeking the Lord, and God really began to speak to us. And we were asking for his vision for this city, for this valley, but also we were asking just personal questions. God, what do you have for our family? What are you speaking to us? Not only the big vision stuff, which for me, that's almost, I like that stuff. For Joy, in the way she's wired, she needed to know for our family and for us, what are you speaking? And so we had some deadlines of making decisions of what we were going to do, where we were going to go. And I was asking Joy every day, what has God been speaking to you? Because I was feeling more certain that this is the direction that we were coming. And she was still praying and seeking the Lord. And she was doing that faithfully. And one morning, this had been her prayer. God, I really want to know that it's not just this random go here or there, but that you have really been preparing us for what you have next. And she really began thinking that because I had been with some friends of ours over in Uganda, and he's a retired doctor. He had sold everything that he had, and they went over there to start a place called Restoration Gateway. And it was basically like a little city in the northern part of war-torn Uganda, and they had an orphanage. They had a school, a church, computer labs. They were doing the works, medical clinics. And one thing he said to me was that all of my life, I feel like God has been preparing me for this work. And all the things that I've learned, both medically and professionally and spiritually, God has been preparing me for this endeavor in my life. And he was filled with joy and anticipation and gratitude with how God had worked in his life up to this point to be able to be a part of what he was now a part of. And Joy resonated with that story. And as we were in our journey, she was like, God, I want to know that. I know I'm not, this isn't the last thing or whatever. I don't know what all you have in store for us in the future. But I want to know that you have been working in our lives and preparing us for this place. How do you know that? I don't know how you know that, but that was her prayer. She was asking God, how can I know that? And let me now backtrack 10 years. 10 years earlier, Joy had moved to Boston. She had just graduated from college and had lived in the same town her entire life, including for college, and she needed to get out. And she was saying, God, I'm restless. I need to get out. I want to leave here for a year. Now here we are 13 years later, and she's never been back. But she's like, I need to get out for a year. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And she had recently gotten involved with Antioch, her senior year in college, and really gotten her world transformed. And so she decided she wanted to go somewhere where there was an Antioch church. And so she was praying about Boston, but because I was one of the only church plants there was at the time. And so she was praying about it. She didn't have a job. She didn't have a place to live. Her parents were obviously concerned about those things. Here she is, especially from being in a pretty small town, Texas, and going to the north, and especially to a big city like Boston. And so there's worry and concern and a lot of questions. And so she's already pretty set on going, but she's getting some feedback that maybe this isn't smart. So she takes some time. She goes to a park near her house, and she just starts to pray. She says, God, I need you to speak. I really feel like this is where you're leading, but I need something more here. So she was praying, not really feeling like she was getting anywhere, hearing anything. And it was time to leave. She had to be somewhere. And she's like, okay, God, I'm just going to come to you one more time here. I need you to speak something. And she felt like he spoke Mark 1:3. And Mark 1:3 is talking about John the Baptist being a voice that would cry out and prepare the way for the Lord. And that was the verse. And she was like, okay. I don't know what that has to do with Boston. Aren't we all supposed to prepare the way for the Lord? I don't know what that means, but I'll write it down in my journal. And she had to leave. Well, the next morning, her best friend's fiance had left a little note on her car, And it said, the Lord brought you to mind this morning, and I felt like this is what that he wanted to encourage you with this verse. What was it? It was Mark 1:3. And again, it had nothing to do with Boston. He just said, you are one who prepares the way for the Lord, be encouraged, whatever, whatever. And she was like, okay, well, I don't know what it means, but that'll be enough for me. And so I'm going to Boston. God is confirming it. And so she went. And there was other ways that she already felt good about it, but she went on this Mark 1:3 passage, and was kind of the final word of the Lord for her to go. And it was interesting, over her time in Boston, she went through the Antioch training school there, and several times it came up again. People would encourage her with this verse, and then other times throughout the course of her living in Boston. And she never knew exactly what it was for. She was encouraged that there was God continually speaking it, that she was to be this instrument that would prepare the way for God to move. She was encouraged by it, but never fully understood what it meant. Well, as we are asking God if we were to move to Phoenix, we're just saying, God, yeah, what are you speaking? And again, she's praying and been praying for a while. Well, one morning she recalls Mark 1:3 and how God has often used that in her life. And she's praying about, God, you know, I want to know that you've been preparing me for this, and that this is the place that you have prepared us for. Well, she turns to Mark 1:3, and she has just one of those moments of clarity from the Lord. And if you know the verse a little more, what Mark 1:3 says is, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so that's not that verse you don't usually think of or highlight the desert aspect, right? You kind of breeze over that, especially if you're not from the desert or never been to the desert. It's just like that's something you kind of gloss over. And in her mind, even when she was when she would think about it, she didn't even say that part. But she felt like that morning she was supposed to actually turn there and read it again. And as she read it, there was this holy moment of in the desert. And what she realized was that when God was calling her to Boston 10 years earlier, he wasn't only calling her to Boston, but he was calling her here and preparing her for it in those days. And it was this really sweet way that God spoke to her, saying, I am preparing you for what lies ahead. There is a purpose and plan I have for you in the desert, in this place. And it was amazing. At first she was like, I don't know if I want to tell it, but I was excited, and we both got excited, and we felt like this was the place that God was calling us, not only to plant a church, but the place that he was wanting our family to flourish. That verse, Mark 1:3, comes from Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, there is a passage that says this, verses 3 through 5. A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This verse became a really integral verse for our entire team. In fact, when we as a team first came here a year and a half before we were actually moving here, we met a group of students on campus, and we told them that God was calling us here, that we really felt like he was calling us here to plant a church. And they were really excited. One girl in particular was like, no way, this is the verse that God has been speaking. And she quotes this verse that our team had been meditating on and memorizing. And she quoted this verse. And so God was just, he was making it very clear that this is where we were to be. And the thing that I want to highlight from this is twofold. First of all, there is a call on your life. There is a voice that God wants to give you. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. God is moving. I fully believe that. Many of you are the reason I believe that, because of what he's doing in your lives. But God is moving, and he is giving you a voice to prepare the way for him to move in the lives of men and women around you. He is giving you a voice. And that voice prepares the way. But when we give him our voice, it's interesting as I read this verse that it starts out by saying, okay, there's a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So that there is a voice that's declaring this. We are going to go towards God. We're going to go straight there. We're not going to go here and there. We're going to move straight into his presence. We're going to run after him and believe him and who he is. And that is the voice that we are given. But quickly, God comes in. It is not just about our voice, because then I love how in verse 4, it moves beyond our voice into what God desires to do. And this is where I gain great encouragement. It says, every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. Rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. So all of a sudden, we stand up and we say, God, here is our voice. And we make it our aim to run after you. And when we do that, when God finds a heart that is committed to him, he moves in like only he can do. And every hill that would stop us, he makes low. Every valley that would be hard to go through, he raises up and makes level. Every rugged place, he makes smooth. And this makes a lot of sense, and especially in this day where any kind of travel would be very difficult. Any kind of attempt to go over a mountain or wind through a valley or go over rugged ground would be very difficult. God comes in and says, I am making a way. I am making a way. God loves to come behind those whose hearts are fully committed to him and give them grace. Give them grace to make it. When we were coming here, and God was using Mark 1:3 in this passage and a few others to really speak to us, I gained such confidence in God, knowing that I cannot move to a place where I know no one. Where there is the largest university in the nation, and we're supposed to start something there, I don't have that kind of capability. I cannot do that. But what I know I can do is simply say, God, here I am. I will be the voice that you've asked me to be. That's what I can do. I'll be the voice. I'll move out there, and I'll start talking to the first person I see or meet or whatever. Josiah, actually, Josiah who's leading worship for us tonight, did a great job. Adam is sick, so be praying for him tonight. But Josiah is one of the first people I met on campus, and he wasn't involved in the church for the first couple years. But here now we're full circle, and God just saying, "I will make a way. I'll bring him back in. I'll get him where he's supposed to be." No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't where he wasn't supposed to be then. But it's cool. I'll talk to this guy. You know, actually, it was easy to talk to him because he was in the prayer tent leading worship. So it wasn't even like I had to be bold. I just kind of stepped in there. I was like worshiping with him. God, I'll be the voice. And when we do that, all of a sudden, God comes in and says, okay, now I'm going to take that mountain in front of you that is completely dominating your vision, that would absolutely stop you from going forward, and I'm going to lower it. Or that valley that looks scary and dark, I'm going to raise it. Or the rugged places where you would trip up, you would never make it through, I'm going to make them smooth. That is his heart for you. That doesn't mean life is always going to be easy, but it means that he is with you, that he will go before you, that he, though we are the voice that prepares the way, he then comes and takes the lead and prepares the way for us to prepare the way for him. I don't know how it works, but he comes and he makes the way for us to make the way. And it's so good. It gives such courage to be the voice that we're called to be. Be the voice that you're called to be. And I love how it ends. It really leaves no doubt. It ends by saying, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. So it's not even about our voice. It's not about our voice. It's not about our glory. It's not about people knowing your name or my name. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. I will be the voice, and then all of a sudden, God will come through and people will see his goodness. Often the glory of the Lord in Scripture is revealed through his goodness, that he is a God who is good. And so our voice will declare that we serve a good God who loves people, who longs to restore them, give them hope, love, joy, peace. That's who God is. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. No doubt, it will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it. They will see it. And so that is the confidence that we go with. Not that people will see us. Not that it won't be difficult at times to stand, to be a voice. But people will see it. People will see the glory of God. They may not see it at first. They may come back with something that would make you believe that they don't see it, that they are not getting it, that they are upset with me. But they will see it. They will see it as we live it, as we really tap into those things. And that's why we did it. That's why I wanted to actually take a moment to say, God, we need your hope. I want to be filled with your hope. I want to operate under your peace. I want to walk in the confidence that comes with knowing that I'm loved. I want people to see that I have joy in life. The life is not a downer, but I actually have a joy through good times and bad. And when people really see that, that's when they see the glory of God, because they know that that's not in your own strength. They know that humanly speaking, you shouldn't be joyful or have peace in the situation that they know that you're in. But they see the glory of God revealed. All mankind, they will see it. And then I love this. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It has been said. It has been declared. It is not going to change. And so we stand on it. There is a firm foundation that we can stand upon. That we can stand upon and say, I will be a voice in this place, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I will simply be the voice. And God is so gracious that he gives us those around us to be a choir of voices. That we don't have to do it alone, but he gives us community. He gives us people with like hearts and like minds to run with, to pick us up when we're tired, to sing louder when we don't have the strength. And we get to do the same for them when they are in a difficult position. It is a journey that we've been called to walk together. And I'm so thankful for that. And to the end of our days, we will be about community. We will be about discipleship, intentionally investing in one another's lives so that we will make it for the long haul, because that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to run a marathon, not a sprint. And to do that, we need one another. Next week, I want to give you a little glimpse into where we're going, because we've run out of time for this evening. Next week, I really want to encourage you to be back if you're at all able to be, because where I believe that God is taking us in this message is to that place of making it for the long haul, the longevity of walking with God. Not for a moment experiencing a peace and love and then kind of falling into obscurity, but really owning those things and walking with those things over our lives. And to do that, we have to recognize that we are in a battle. We're in a battle against our own flesh, our own selfish desires. And so there is a challenge that I really feel like is on God's heart for us to own the victory that has already been given to us. But there really is a war going on. And I would be remiss to not to not just say that. Because if there is a battle going on, we want to know it, right? If there is something that we're having to fight for, we want to know. And so we have to daily fight for living out a life of righteousness and purity. There is an extreme contrast in Scripture between giving ourselves and to the sinful nature and trying to gratify the sinful nature. And there's a huge difference between that and then trying to gratify the Spirit and build up the Spirit. It says that one, gratifying the sinful nature, leads to death. It leads to destruction and death. There is no life there. But when we live to please the Spirit, there is life and joy and peace. And there is a battle that rages there. And we walk in it together, but at the end of the day, we must make the choice to say yes to Jesus and no to our flesh, to our own desires. And this is something that I really feel like is on God's heart for us as a church and for us individually, so that we would make it. There are so many in this room that have a desire to give ourselves to the Spirit, but so often find ourselves giving ourselves to the flesh. And then we're back and forth and we're torn. And I want to expand upon that thought, that battle that rages, and how we can continually give ourselves to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. It's where we want to be, but at times find so much difficulty in giving ourselves. And it's going to flow out of knowing the love, hope, peace, and joy that comes from knowing Jesus and being a voice that He's called us to be. So I want to just close us tonight by responding, not to the flesh and the Spirit, because I will get there next week, but I really want us to respond in a couple of ways to the message tonight. First of all, some of you may need to spend a little more time just receiving from God. It is a night to receive from Him. That was the word that I got via text on my way here, that tonight was a night to receive the grace to walk out in all the commitments that you're wanting to walk out in this season, in this year. And part of that receiving is receiving, again, just the love, the peace, the joy, and the hope of knowing God. So you just may need to take some more time and just receive those things from Him. Because when we know those things, we are so motivated and compelled to walk out in the commitments that He's called us to. Secondly, I believe that there are voices that God have given many of us in this room that we are not yet walking in, that we are not yet owning. And that tonight God would challenge us to step out and to speak, to sing, to declare the truth of who He is. And when we do that, we will see God come and move in such great power that we will be overwhelmed with joy. So God, I pray that tonight we would know in a very real and tangible way, we would know that You are the God of hope. And where we have felt hopeless and lifeless, You will bring us back from the dead. You will give us life and hope. Pray that tonight, those that need to know Your peace would just unexplainably, for the first time in months, experience peace in Your presence. In Your presence. And I pray for over anyone that is feeling unvaluable, feeling without worth, God, that they would know how much you love them, how much you love who they are. Even in the midst of your junk, God wants you to know that you are loved. He wants to affirm who you are. And lastly, I just pray for those, God, who have not experienced your joy, that tonight would be a night of receiving your joy, the joy that comes from knowing you. And tonight, maybe it's the first time that they have given themselves to you, have said, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I pray that your joy would flood their soul. God, and tonight, lastly, I just pray that you would give us a voice, and that the voice that you've given us, we would own, and we would declare, and we would sing for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.